and welcome to CanQueer, home of Canada's queer media. And are we excited for the show we have ahead of you today? Now, first of all, the most
excited?
I am excited because we are not only syndicated coast to coast in Canada. Very excited. You're either catching us over at Cape Radio or CHUO in Ottawa. Oh, gosh, Danny, you might even be hearing us on the X. But as of now, you might be hearing us on Free FM in New Zealand. We are now internationally syndicated.
In Auckland.
Yes, it's very, very exciting. And we want to thank the folks over there a great deal for carrying our show. And if you are listening to us in New Zealand, then I'm sure you had a great time listening to the show right before us. Actually, I listened to the movie. I think it's called Flat Out. And it's kind of... I forget the exact name. I listened to it yesterday. Mm-hmm. And it's really interesting because they were kind of a bit of a chitter-chatter, you know, like, how's your day? And it was really refreshing hearing the New Zealand accents on the radio.
Right.
So that was a lot of fun. but today's show, we've done a lot of topic-heavy, issue-heavy shows for the last couple of weeks now. And as much as we love talking about, you know, disproportionate rates of cancer or the intersection of race and masculinity, an awful lot happens in the background between those times. So we are going to delve into the news. Every so often we like to have a nice little news
a
show.
A jibber jabber episode.
Yeah, we're pretty excited about it. Now, let me just... what's your first news story so I can hook up mine? Do you have any stories?
I have none.
You have none?
I have spent the past week preparing for a training thing yesterday where I was talking for 2 hours.
Well, we're going to start with some raunchy stories because, I mean, you know, if for folks listening at like 9 a.m., this is how you want to get your morning started.
That's absolutely true.
This is true. And 9 a.m. actually on local FM in St. John, New Brunswick.
Okay.
So a little shout out there. A former film, adult film actor, Christopher Zaitsev.
Oh, my God.
You're gonna look at that name now, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he told The Independent, which is a
UK... I would say Zaitsev.
Okay, I wasn't that far off. He told The Independent, which is a UK broadsheet newspaper.
They have those still?
Well, I don't know if it is like an actual broadsheet.
Like
I believe it was like that one of the broadsheets, like
it's
old
like
school.
Paper with ink on it?
I'm pretty sure it is printed, yeah. The
and
Independent
it doesn't have a
is
battery.
No.
You don't plug it in.
No, and you don't get Facebook notifications on it either.
Oh, my God.
I know, that's
how
old
does that
school.
Work?
I don't know. Anyway, you can read it online.
Back.
but his big thing was that he got blacklisted from working with girls from a number of agencies in terms of this particular line of work that he was doing. He did a session with you know, men and some women, and it was a large cast, and he said after that, having done work with both genders, he was blacklisted despite everyone going into it being tested and then everyone leaving being tested.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for their sexual health. He said that he couldn't get any jobs with working with girls after that. And by girls, I mean, obviously, women, but...
professional ladies.
Professional ladies, yeah. So, yes, that's certainly one thing that has come to light. Yeah, he's a German, which is interesting because there was other German adult film star news where one of them was prominent spies... turned out to have had a secret history as a gay porn star. So,
oh, that's good. Probably good at keeping secrets.
Yeah, I mean, he certainly had the practice for it. But this is interesting. Do you think that there's discrimination in the adult film industry?
Well, I mean, obviously there's going to be discrimination in every industry. Now, you say that, but I recently finished actually reading a book about...
Oh, well done. Good job.
Thank you. Feminist pornography.
Oh.
And something they commented on was that, well, outside of the feminist pornography industry, mm-hmm. this was told from the perspective
of... How would you define
of,
the feminist pornography industry?
Well, feminist porn is, not by definition, but typically it is made by women for women. If it is if it's lesbian porn, then it tends to have way more diversity in body types,
mm-hmm.
and way more diversity in representation of relationship types, and more diversity in how they have sex and how they express that. Outside of that, it's actually possible to have gay male pornography that counts as being feminist.
Okay.
The main drive in that case would be something where everybody's desires are made very clear, consent is obviously given.
Mm-hmm.
Very rarely is it just like outright, I consent that you do blah, blah, blah. But it's usually done by having a lot more focus on facial expressions and eye mm-hmm. contact. And
like occasionally checking in. I'm gonna use a euphemism now. You're putting up the drapes on the I don't know. I just went to putting up drapes, and you lean over and you whisper in your partner's ear, "Are you okay if I put the left drape up first?" And you know, is it cool if I adjust the drapes just so? And then is that kind of the thing we're talking about, where it's like it's sensual but kind of just slipped in there?
No, half the time it's just they grab your ankle and they're looking at you in the eye to be like, okay. And then they just sort of like slowly crank you up to the moon so that you're
okay.
Like, and then your leg is now behind your head and they're still looking at you and the other person's like, uh-huh. So it's
okay.
It's
okay.
Quite often it's a lot more implied, but it's okay. Still very clear that they're
as opposed to just doing it.
Yeah.
You know, this is what you signed up for. Yeah. Surprise!
Either that or the other thing that a lot of feminist pornographers had a problem with, which is after there's some off-screen cue and then they just stop what they're doing and change positions. And it's clear that it was scripted beforehand that you're going to do this and then you're going to do this and then you're going to do this.
Yeah, it's very inorganic.
Yeah, it doesn't really look natural. Anyway, a lot of these feminists...
Just as an aside, very brief aside, myself and my partner watching... cinema of
gentleman's cinema.
Gentleman's nature.
Yeah.
And we were looking at the category they like to call authentic.
Oh, that's
amateur.
The fakest of it all.
No. Some of it is like actual real. And you can tell it's real. Because there's like a good solid 20 minutes of like just getting it positioned. Like you don't just switch positions at the drop of a dime.
Yeah.
Like there's some negotiation that goes on.
I thought you were going to say like, they spend a good 20 minutes with the action happening, like, slightly off camera because they forgot to readjust.
Oh, that happens too. But yeah. I thought that was so genuine because, you know, normal people aren't adult film actors. They
yeah.
can't just switch on a dime. But I was like, you know what? I appreciate this for its authenticity. Anyway, carry on.
Yeah, right. So a common complaint among some of the feminist pornographers before they went from mainstream to their own private industry, like, because the feminist pornography industry in the 80s was built largely by these women sort of coming together, and a few men, but largely women. A lot of them were saying that one of their biggest complaints was that the other complaints against the porn industry were way too broad. So saying that it's not that bad, or saying that it is bad, or saying that it is exploitive is missing very important key words like some of, or most of, or sometimes.
Or this studio is.
Exactly. Yeah. And they were saying that a few of them had worked on a few mainstream studios where they felt respected, they felt well paid, they felt like their time was worth it, they felt on screen and off screen like they were a part of the cast and not just objects. And so it's all over the map. It's all over the place. But one of the things that they wanted to do when they built the feminist porn industry is to actually make a space that was consistently good.
Mm. It makes me almost think of it like they were making a movie as opposed to making a product, kind
yeah.
of in terms of how the actors are. You know, this actually reminds me of another news story I saw this week. And one of the things that I quite like about this news story is it is called the It's the iCon, i.con, with like i as in like iPods and Apple and all that kind of jazz. So not an Apple product.
I feel like that's overdone, by the way. I
yeah,
feel like
yeah.
the lowercase I is the modern equivalent to the late 90s. Anything that begins with an X, capital X, no E, extreme.
Oh, yeah.
That kind of thing, yeah.
Yeah, that was a thing.
That was a thing, and it happened. And after a while, people were like, I have no idea what an extreme nacho is, but apparently they're being sold now.
If you know what an extreme nacho is, let us know, because like, we're still in the dark.
You open up the bag, and then one of them comes out and assassinates your colon.
What was one of... There was that whole thing. There was like Gatorades, like not like a power drink. And it was like...
Extreme.
Extreme! Yeah. And it was like really shouty.
Yeah.
And those videos went viral. And
then they made fun of it on Clone High with that weird thing that was just... What was it? Pancake batter with blue paint or something?
I don't even know.
Anyway.
So this i.con is the world's first smart condom. And all that, it's actually a bit misleading because it's not, in fact, an item of safer sex tool. It is actually just a cock ring. And it's interesting because it's maybe the first time they've commercially sold data tracking for that form of exercise.
Sexual performance, yeah.
Yeah. And they're like, just how many calories are you burning?
It's
and like apparently
it's
that's...
a Fitbit, basically.
Yeah. But the bit it fits on is somewhat more intimate. Yeah, absolutely. But if you are interested in knowing how many calories that you burn or your thrusts per exchange ratios, then there's a new product apparently that is available. Now, to our New Zealand listeners, we know that what we're about to say is about Australia. And as a Welshman with my rivalry with the English, which New Zealanders will understand, I'm not even going to draw a comparison.
How many Kiwis have you actually met? Because in Hamilton, where I did my undergrad uni, there was a large number of Kiwis. And most of them were like, eh, Australia, whatever. They're also there. Like the rivalry is not as great as you might think. It is for the arts, I've noticed. Like, if you accidentally attribute a New Zealand band as being from Australia, that is no good. But generally speaking, if you're talking about, like, I don't know. Anyway, sorry, go on. What was the thing?
So, the thing is, I'm going to be talking about Asaya Firebrace, who is an Aboriginal Australian, who they've now decided is going to be Australia's submission to... the Eurovision Song Contest. That's right, folks. This is our third Eurovision song that we're playing on our show in the run-up to the Eurovision Song Contest in May, I believe.
You know, the number of people I've spoken to lately where I said that people suspect there's a chance that America might end up performing in Eurovision, and then the number of reactions to that is very wide. And diverse. One of the big things that I heard, one of my favorite ones is actually that the whole point of Eurovision is that America can't go. And to actually give Europe its own platform to actually share its own culture and music without Americans.
That's not strictly true. It was a European Broadcast Union, so that's pretty much who the EBU is, what it was. And it's very much in line with the EU building project. It was designed to create a common cultural thread through Europe and tie the whole continent together. And truth be told, Eurovision maybe does a better job of that than the EU in some senses, mainly because Britain has not Brexited from Eurovision. So as long as Graham Norton's showing up to talk about it, we have not Brexited from Eurovision. Now, the 17-year-old Asaya Firebrace.
It's bizarre because... It feels more appropriate that Mexico goes to Eurovision than America.
I feel like Canada should go, and then Mexico.
Canada should not go.
Nobody should tell America, and it will just be like a big party that nobody told them about.
Well, no, but Justin Timberlake was there last year.
Oh, yeah.
And he ruins things.
Oh,
I'm not a fan of his, obviously. But anyway, I feel like Canada should
Didn't
not be
sing
in Eurovision.
Happy?
But I feel like Quebec should be in Eurovision.
No, you can't have Quebec there and not Canada.
You totally can.
You know, you say that, but I was thinking, actually, there is this this French teen, and maybe during this song I'll find the name of it, and his songs is what makes me think that Canada should be in Eurovision. Now, if I can, you know what? Because we're in the basement of a basement of a basement, I have no surface.
I find it weird that England keeps phoning it in, But then they have people like Sam Sparrow who would fit into Eurovision perfectly. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's just, I don't know. We're not going to be talking about Eurovision politics right now. We're just going to play the music. Play the song.
We absolutely are. This is Isaiah Fibrace, who is incredibly handsome for 17. Got that sort of model look.
That's a creepy thing to say.
Yeah. And he won X Factor under the tutelage of Adam Lambert, who folks may recognize from fronting Queen, I think.
So now, apparently, winning a karaoke competition is what qualifies you for Eurovision?
Well, that plus the song he won the karaoke competition with went and charted worldwide. So
he
has done a good job. This is Don't Come Easy, Australia's entry into the Eurovision Song Contest in Kiev this May. Check it out. This is Isaiah, and we'll be back just after this.
I can tell by your eyes you want more than this. But can we be much more beyond these sheets? No, I don't want to mess with your head. But my love, it's hard to love again. It don't come easy, and it don't come cheap. Been burned too many times to love easily. Don't mistake me, my love runs deep. But it don't come easy, it don't come cheap. No, not with me. I used to move in fast to erase my past, but it never works, no, it never lasts, no. In my mind, I gotta get things right. Take it slow before I jump this time. No, it don't come easy. No, it don't come cheap. Been burned too many.
Back to Cairn Queer, home of Canada's Queen Media. And I have been struggling to find the name of this teenage boy who sang like Europop style songs. It's going to bug me until the day I die. But never mind, we have no option but to move on. The show must go on, Sebastian. The show must go on.
Uh-huh.
And seeking of onwards and upwards, we have some great news out of Iceland. As Iceland, the Prime Minister Bjarni, well, I'm just going to go with the Prime Minister Bjarni and not insult the Icelandic people by trying to say that last name.
It's actually Bjarni.
Okay, apparently I can't say. The Prime Minister of Iceland.
It's Benediktsson.
Okay, the Prime Minister of Iceland.
Bjarni Benediktsson.
Yes. Announced that they are introducing legislation.
Because look, it's Benedict, apostrophe S, son, but without the apostrophe. Benedict's son. That's how... Okay. Do you know what his father's name was? I want you to guess.
Benedict?
Yeah.
All right. Okay,
that's how
cool.
Norwegian and Norse names work.
Well, a lot of them, like Johnson?
Yeah. It's a, except yeah. Bjarni's going to have a kid called Bjarni's son.
Oh. Oh, they still do that?
They still do that.
Wow.
That's why family trees are so incredibly easy to build in Iceland.
Well, you know. that fell out of fashion a long time ago in the UK.
Well, because the Irish had the O and then the Scots had the Mac. Yeah. And then there was one if you knew who your mother was but not your father. There was one for that as well, but mm-hmm. I can't remember what it was. Or sometimes daughters would be something and then their mother's name. That was, yeah. I can't remember what it was. Anyway, sorry, go on.
So moving on, this legislation would require that companies with more than 25 employees show that they are paying men and women alike for the same jobs with a review process every 3 years. This will be the first country in the world to legislate equal pay for men and women.
I feel like this shouldn't be news, but it is, and mm-hmm. that's sad.
It is sad. I mean, it was a great announcement for International Women's Day.
Announcement. And I remember a couple of years ago, Justin Trudeau was talking about that sort of thing, and then people were like, harumph, and then it didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you do that, it takes away a company's ability to negotiate pay with their employees. But negotiating pay is how they exploit employees.
Absolutely, yeah.
The other thing is, and this is something that really needs looking into, not in the sense of research, because we know that, but how to solve it, is that the greatest source of the pay disparity between men and women is that fields that are typically male, or especially male in terms of number of people there, are better paid quite often. And the two classic examples of that sort of like support this little hypothesis is that in the 50s, 60s, 70s, and early 80s in America, because they collect the most data out of anywhere in the world except for the UK, teaching, especially high school teaching, was predominantly male. And after it became a predominantly female job, wages froze for the next 20 years.
Hmm.
The opposite is happening in nursing, because for the longest time it was exclusively female. But after it started getting more and more men into the field, now nursing is a better paid field than ever before in America. So partly it has to do with how many people typically are in that field. And so, I mean, there's an issue there, because then...
But what we do know...
It turns into an apples and oranges thing, because nurses aren't paid well, but paramedics are typically... And it's And then there's excuses all over the place. And really, it's... Yeah, I don't know.
I mean...
The only solution is communism. We should all just be paid the same.
If you look at occupations where there is a man or woman doing the exact same job, regardless of whether or not that particular industry is weighted one way or another,
yep.
9 times out of 10, the man is paid more.
Like, well, it depends on the industry, though.
Overwhelmingly... Men are paid more. I think that is why.
True, yeah,
this
isn't. Okay.
I mean, we can't argue against there being a wage gap. There is a wage gap.
Well, I'm just thinking about things like the tech industry, where mm-hmm. you're usually paid by how much work you get done, or that like the tech.
But then we're looking at opportunities and the fact that women, they don't get paid for, because of maternity leave, it affects their careers and so on and so forth. But we're not going to get into
I'm not denying that. Mm-hmm. But what I'm saying is that currently it's the between industry because the wage gap, because since the 80s and 90s, it's been a topic of conversation within fields. It has been gradually closing, not fast, and it's not close, but it has been closing. But between fields, it has actually been getting worse. What are you squinting at?
I'm looking at this. There's a chart here from the OECD, which is the Organization of Economic Development, I think.
Okay.
So there's a whole bunch of... It's a rich country club, essentially.
Okay.
It's a club for rich countries, not a country club that is rich. There is a difference. Anyway, so Iceland...
Like OPEC and NATO.
Yeah, not like the Manor House Golf Resort. That would be a rich country club as opposed to a rich country club.
A club for rich countries, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, moving on. So Iceland is actually number one in terms of the environment for working for women. Canada is down as number 10. The average is like between 12 and 13. Now, where is the UK?
Look at that.
Oh, the United States is number 20.
Top five are all Northern European.
Yep, so Iceland is one, Sweden is two, Norway is three, Finland is four, Poland is five, France is six. I still can't see Britain. Why am I not seeing it?
Because it may not be on there.
Oh no, it's number 22. Oh, the shame.
It's worse than America.
It's worse than America.
See, that's the problem, though.
I have no issue being worse than Greece or Germany, but America?
Yeah,
oh,
that's not a good sign.
Oh, when your equity is worse than the States, that is bad.
It's like finding out your education system is worse than the States.
Oh, speaking of education system, great segue there, Sebastian. China is doing something better than both the United Kingdom and the United States. Give me just a second to pull it up.
I like soft tacos. That's not a euphemism, by the way. I'm actually talking about soft tacos. They're amazing.
Okay, so, yes. Yeah, your thing with soft tacos. A new Chinese sex education policy has been released for primary schools. So, you know, the younger folks. So, like, elementary would be, I think, the Canadian equivalent.
We also call it primary schools.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Whatever. So the new Chinese education policy is actually like surprisingly, it's been quoted as surprisingly sexually and gender equality promoting. So they learn about gender equality, including that men can make great nurses and kindergarten teachers, which are very female dominated fields.
Mm-hmm.
And they also teach people that some people are in same sex relationships and love is a beautiful thing.
Aww.
Yeah, and I want to just compare this with an American news story.
Although the art in this pamphlet is brutal.
Yeah, but this compares to an American story that came out this week as well. And everyone knows about the Russia's do not talk about gay stuff law.
Yeah.
It notably has been used to give an R, like a 16 rating on Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, yes.
Because
Gaston.
No, the other, the, like, his friend, that I forget the name of, Foch?
Oh, right, yes.
He apparently has a gay moment. So it is a 16-plus movie in Russia because they're promoting homosexuality. Anyway, so everyone's like, the no promo homo law in Russia. But did you know...
Nope.
In the United States of America, there are 7 states that have no promo homo laws, including, I think it's Alabama, which goes so far as to teach in high schools that same-sex relations are not acceptable to the general public. So in Alabama, you're told that same-sex relations is, you know, unacceptable to the general public. If you're in China, you are taught that love is a beautiful thing. Now, I know that Donald Trump has a thing for the Chinese, but maybe he should be looking at their curriculum.
Yeah, well, he doesn't have a thing for them the way he has for Putin. But the weird thing about Alabama, though, just a piece of historical context, is that it's a former French colony that was split off from Louisiana when they realized that Louisiana was too much land space for their government to take care of in the 1800s, I think. So it's just kind of weird, the notion that, like, you know, you have Papa France looking at little baby Louisiana and little baby Alabama, looking at them thinking, like, what are you doing with yourselves? That's assuming they even notice, because if it's not in Africa, France doesn't really pay attention to its former colonies very much. Like, the relationship between France and Vietnam, not so great. France and Canada, not so great. There's, oh, what is it? There's 3 islands in, oh, France and Haiti. There you go. That's... France is like, I suppose they speak French, I guess. And it's, no.
Yeah, I couldn't pull up more details because we couldn't get it to work on the website. But yeah, I just wanted to take that brief moment to go, look at the Chinese doing such a great job in education. Yeah.
Well, historically, China was a very open-minded country when it came to gender and sexuality. It was, and I don't want to name and shame anyone, i.e. the Brits, but it was the introduction of Christianity that made China into a very conservative country. at least in terms of gender and sexuality. They're very conservative in other ways, but that's more of like a honor tradition, sort of Confucianism.
I don't know if you hear much about this. I couldn't get too much information, but there was a bus that said, essentially it was, you know, it's Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve kind of thing. And it was this big orange bus, and it was going to go around Spain, essentially promoting family values.
Is it a Spanish bus, or is it like a foreign agency going there?
No, it's a Spanish, like a right-wing conservative group in Spain.
I feel like there's a preamble that you missed out on. When you started,
I read it a while ago, and I was trying to refresh my memory, but we can't get anything to work, so we'll just have to go off my memory here. But this thing, it was in Madrid. I remember it was in Madrid, and they had this bus, and they were going to go it around, and it was quite an anti-trans bus, and you know, and then so Madrid said, "Not here," and they stopped them from coming. And actually, multiple Spanish cities have essentially said, "No way. You're not allowed in this city," and kind of cut this Spanish tour short of this, homophobic, transphobic bus. So a little bit of good news out of Spain. And there's another good news out of Germany. I have a bit more detail on the German one.
Spain and Portugal have been going in such an interesting direction lately.
So the German Social Democrats, and they're not the ones in power, because it's the Christian Democrats who are in power. Actually, they're in a coalition with the Social Democrats. Anyway. So the Social Democrats have announced that they're going to do another push to legalize gay marriage. Now, a little while ago, they were going to do it, but there's a lot of conservative backlash, a bit of like, really? You know, similar to a lot of other European countries and a lot of other countries in general.
Yeah.
And in the end, they adjusted some of their common law rules and what's... You know, the not marriage
yeah.
option.
Well, common law.
Yeah, that's the phrase I was looking for.
Yeah.
But now they've said, you know what, according to a new study by the Anti-Discrimination Agency, they have one.
Okay.
They found that 83% of Germans support legal equality for same-sex marriage. So they're kind of taking up this mantle and are now going to push again for marriage in Germany. Like the religious equal marriage in Germany.
Okay.
Yeah. I kind of find it really important that in an environment of doom and gloom, that we take a moment to look at, like, good news.
Mm-hmm.
Nice news.
All right.
Yeah. Finland introducing equity pay laws. Germany maybe getting gay marriage on the books. Actually, in Ireland... party who'd been saying that they were the big naysayers on gay marriage just got pretty much voted out of power. I think they have like a one seat majority. Like, it's very, very close. So their ability to fight same-sex marriage now has gone down the drain in this new election. And it's actually, there's a lot of interesting politics with Northern Ireland. Essentially, whatever position on any topic one team chooses, the opposite choose the contrarian position by default.
Okay.
It's like, you'll pass, and in which case they're like, thou shalt not pass, and it's just like, it's very contrarian. Anyway, but that was good news. Have you found any news in the time that we've been chatting, or...?
Nothing really worth sharing, unfortunately. Partly also because, as you say, the reception here is not so great. And I unfortunately have been busy all week putting together like a 2-hour lesson plan.
So in the meantime, then, we're going to play the Brooklyn-based punk band PWRBTTM, so Power Bottom.
Okay.
But the acronym. And their song, which is called Answer My Text. Now, I listened to this song because I'm like, oh, Brooklyn-based punk band. Might be some swearing. And it actually is a hilarious song. It's about, like, you go on a date and, you know, you wait a couple of hours and then you text them and you're like, hey, I had a lot of fun. That was really nice.
Well, that's what you're supposed to do.
And then there's no answer.
Aww.
And it's all like that emotional roller coaster as a teen of like, answer my text. My life is depending on it.
That's not really a teen issue.
That's like a human issue. Yeah. So this is a great song. I thought it was a very, very fun song. This is Power Bottom, Answer My Text. And we'll be back just after this.
Thank you. I sweat out 7 pounds in water weight just asking for your number. When you gave it to me, I went home and waited a couple hours, like the magazines all told me. Then I sent you some emojis and a funny joke from that TV show you said that you like. And that was 8 hours ago, and now everyone I know is either fast asleep or staring at their phone. I don't really care exactly what we do together, cause it's probably better than sleeping alone. Answer my text today, or call me up and tell me that you're coming over. I'll clean up my room so quick. Answer my text today. Maybe something I said before just wasn't right, or maybe your heart's in silent mode tonight. On silent mode tonight. Well, you wrote me back eventually and took me to a movie. You said it was a date, but I'm not sure if you were serious. I act like I know what I'm doing and all my friends see through me. It felt so cool when we got home late and made my parents furious. But then you left again and I just felt confused and nerdy. My teenage angst will be with me well into my 30s. It always feels like there's something I don't know. And as I watch you drive away, I'm screaming out my window. Answer my text. Or just wasn't right. Maybe your heart's on silent mode tonight.
Welcome back to Can Queer, home of Canada's Queer Major. My name is Luke Smith. I don't know if I actually introduced my name at the top of the hour. And this is Sebastian.
You did introduce me as Sebastian.
But never myself.
Not yourself, yeah.
I am an illusion.
Yes.
My identity is an enigma. No, my name is Luke Smith, and I am one of two hosts of Can Queer, home of Canada's Queer Media. Going to move on to a bit of not nice news.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah, because you mentioned earlier about in Sweden when there is homophobia.
Yeah,
there
usually,
is homophobia.
Usually when you look at the stats coming out of Sweden, it usually looks very good that their rates are fairly low and that equality is pretty high and that, you know, at the federal level, the legally recognized rights are pretty good. But I actually do have a few friends from Sweden who say that, generally speaking, especially if you're in the bigger cities, so if you're in like Malmö or Gothenburg or what's the capital? How come I remember other major cities but not the capital?
Paris?
Not Stockholm. Yeah, Stockholm.
Oh, we're not talking about France.
No,
sorry.
Yeah, we're talking about Sweden.
So I was looking at two things at once. It was,
and then Uppsala. I don't know why I can remember major cities that are not Stockholm. But anyway, generally speaking, when you're in the major cities, things are overall fairly well. But if there is going to be any homophobia, it has a tendency to be very dramatic. Like somebody finds out that their neighbors are having a big old gay potluck and there's like 30 homos over there eating, you know, turkey and mediocre potato salad, and then they just kick in the front door with baseball bats and just go through the party. And it tends to be rare, but when it does happen, it's really, really bad, like skinheads and pickup truck kind of bad. And yeah, that's basically what I was talking about over the break. But you had a news story that went with that.
Yeah, well, the idea of it being not very good news. So Zach Ostmane, who is 35, he emigrated to France out of Algeria, I believe it was, and he helped to found the Shams France group, which helps LGBT folks in the Middle East to escape prosecution. Now, he came out in Algeria where it is a punishable offense by 2 years in prison just being gay.
Right.
So he emigrated. On last Friday at a bar in Marseille, two men drugged his beer whilst he was dancing and took him to a hotel room where they raped and beat him. He was missing for a number of days. And then on Sunday, they spotted a car and was able to get... He was spotted a car and was able to get some attention. But yeah, he was held hostage for 2 days before he was able to escape. Yeah, and he's a very prominent activist in Marseille and in France, very much encouraging LGBT folks from particularly former French colonies to kind of go there as a bit of a safe haven. And then to kind of have that would be, that would very much, you know, shake you to your core. You know,
kind of undermines your message.
Yeah, you go, you know, come to France. It's great and wonderful and accepting and much better than Algeria. And
he may have to change his message to come to France. It's less bad.
Yeah, yeah. Come to France, but like put a lid on your drink at all times because, you know, this is ridiculous. And apparently he was targeted specifically. They have been identified and they are now in prison. They used to both be in the French Foreign Legion.
Hmm. Well, I mean, it's nothing like hearing those stories where you find out that there was a serial rapist, but it was a high school football star. And then because of his fame, the court decides to go easy on him. So, I mean, deserter and other friend of deserter. I don't know about the other guy. But anyway, something's going to come of it. Also, being France, they have layer upon layer upon layer of court of appeals. So if nothing happens, they can just go to the next level. And the French legal system is actually really good in terms of overturning unfair court rulings. Mm-hmm. They have a rich history of it, including actually they're the only country, actually not the only country in the world, but they're one of the few countries in the world that have a court of appeals for high court decisions about the legal system.
Mm.
So you can actually, as a citizen, appeal a new law to the Court of Appeals. But it's like this special Court of Appeals. It's really weird. I dig it. But I think it obviously it came out of sort of the Napoleonic era and trying to, you know, first cleaning up after corrupt and self-important royals and then cleaning up after corrupt and self-important
court officials.
Napoleon. and then corrupt and self-important court officials was the next step. But yeah, so they are one of the few countries I've heard of that when they try to fix something by committee, it actually tends to end up actually fixed because they're like, well, how can we make it so that nobody does this again? And then they actually try to figure that out.
It's worth looking into the story of this man, though, because...
Or in his politics.
No, the kind of the when he was captured and kind of what he went through. You know, it's interesting. He was
learning about a modern activist who's actually doing well in the world.
Yeah, absolutely.
Also that's a positive story. Yeah,
that's important. But apparently he was held and beaten and tried to escape once and was caught and beaten quite severely, and then he saw a police car outside the front of the hotel and just shouted and screamed to try and get their attention, and then the captors were beating the crap out of him when the police actually stormed in the front door, having heard and responded. So yeah, very, very shocking, very worrying that this would happen in modern day France, but c'est la vie. So moving on,
I see what you did there.
Yeah, I know. Like one of the very, very few French phrases I know, and I felt like it was appropriate in this one. I want to talk about British Columbia and syphilis.
Okay. When you say British Columbia with a British accent, it makes it sound like a former colony and not like a province of Ontario, a province of Canada. It's, I don't know, but when you said British Columbia, I was like, is that, where's that? Near Uganda?
Is that like a small island near like Uruguay? Next to Jamaica? Like, is that, you know, no, it's...
2 hours sail away from Easter Island?
Is it near the British Virgin Islands? Or like is that where... No, British Columbia.
Or the Virgin British Islands?
As if that would exist. So, speaking of syphilis, now in British Columbia, there has been a bit of a spike in syphilis. And we've actually talked about this before, haven't we?
About the increase of PrEP has been linked with a decrease in HIV, but also an increase in everything else, with syphilis and chlamydia definitely topping the list.
So I was just looking at the stats. So they've already had 68 new cases of syphilis, and they've tested 22,000 people.
Well, 68 in what period of time? Because 68 is not necessarily...
This year. I think it's this year.
Whoa, and we're just in March.
And they've tested 22,733 so far.
Okay, so that's...
That's according to the website as of, like, right now. So the idea is test now, test often. It may not be 22,733 people. It could be one guy who's gone and got tested 22,733 times, but probably not. It's probably a mixture of people and repeat testing.
Yeah.
So their whole thing to kind of get people tested is that they know that it's disproportionately men who have syphilis and disproportionately bi and gay men that have syphilis.
Right.
Or at least getting new cases of syphilis. Now, we talked about the kind of the mythos of, you know, PrEP being a miracle pill that will cure everything.
Yeah.
You know, got an itchy back, take PrEP, it'll be fine. And the fact that it is one of many tools to help prevent transmission
although
of HIV.
Although PrEP will give you a bum tummy.
Oh.
Well, it's
one
not guaranteed.
One of the side effects.
But it, yeah, it's one of the side effects is it can give you a bum tummy.
Mm.
Bum tummy being like anywhere from, oh, I don't feel 100% right now, up to, oh, I need to run to the bathroom walking funny so that nothing falls out.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Ill is really the
definition. But I like to
here.
Say bum tummy.
Yeah. So what BC have launched is this pretty, well, I think it's pretty cool. It's called, they're like taking historical figures and it's a little syphilis history. And the website is syphhistory.ca. And there's actually spelled like SIP history, but the P and the H, like the H of history is the H in SIF. So it's either SIF history or SIP history.
You know, I'm sure if people just looked it up, Google would correct them if they didn't write it correctly.
Yeah, there's no, so there's just only one H.
Go on with the story. Let so, Google fix it.
Okay, Google will fix it. But they launched this campaign, and what they've done is they've made little pictures of historical people that look like penises.
Mm-hmm.
So there's Henry VIII, and their catalog is like Henry VIII, maybe history, but syphilis is not. Ooh. And it's all about the fact that BC is now seeing the highest rates of syphilis in 30 years. So it is beating history.
Since the 80s, basically.
Yeah.
Highest rates of syphilis since the 80s. That's...
So some of the little penis people is Napoleon and Al Capone and Ivan the Terrible, Henry VIII, I mentioned, Lincoln, Tolstoy and Van Gogh and Beethoven. And the idea is that they're doing posters and a major province-wide advert campaign with these penis people, really kind of promoting the idea of, you know, syphilis really should be something for the history books, not a major current threat to public health.
Well, syphilis, much like a lot of the STIs, is actually quite easy to not get. The one, oh man, what's the one that comes in ABC varieties? How am I forgetting this? Hep, that's it. Hep is really, really, really hard to avoid. Hep is, of all the STIs, the one that if you get that and you did everything right, but you got it anyway, that's the one where they're just like, you know what? You can get it from bad water. You can get it from food. You can get it from a cutlery that wasn't washed properly in a humid environment. Like, it's really easy to get hepatitis.
Mm.
Although A, B, and C have slightly different rates, and some of them are harder to get, and other ones, contamination is actually a real thing.
And if you've seen any of those adverts for going on vacation where tourists step on needles in those TV adverts for
they
getting
step
your,
on like hypodermic needles?
Yeah, yeah. They're like, get your shots. And it's like always a video of someone stepping on the needle. And I'm like, why would you go stepping on needles?
Yeah, that doesn't sound
vacation,
like
on
something
some
that
beach.
Happens super often.
Yeah.
But anyway, most of the STIs, HEP being sort of a notable exception, are very avoidable with...
Well, the thing about syphilis is that you catch it through the sores.
Yes.
Which
now, means it's only transmittable when it's obvious that someone has it.
Yeah, yes. I mean, use your eyes.
Yes.
It could be very early stages, and you might not, like, see it very well.
It could look like razor burn if it's very, very early.
And especially if you've also just razored.
Yeah.
Also,
we normally call that shaving.
Yeah. Also, you know, you may have a sore on a part of the area covered by the eye condom that you've just invested in.
Yes.
You know, so use your eyes, use your discretion. And if it is there, you know, give it a couple of days. Go hang out with Pamela Anderson and look at alternative options.
Pamela Anderson? Like from Baywatch?
Yeah.
I feel like...
Some folks will get the euphemism. Anyway, the option... Really, it's a bit of a public health announcement. If you see a sore, stay away. Go get tested. Get tested often. You know, play it safe. Better safe than sorry. And there's always other options that don't involve catching syphilis. So,
or a dude with a weird chin.
Yeah, there's a picture on this website, and there's just a very strange chin.
Yeah.
So, but we're moving on from that, because why would we talk about a weird chin?
I do.
So, speaking of Trump, actually, there is some gay news with Trump.
Oh, yes.
Now, I'm not going to talk about the raft of very, very anti-gay news from Trump, because, to be honest, I don't want to. I don't want to talk about all the bad news from Trump. But I am going to talk a little bit about some good news. If you can believe that such a thing exists.
Or good-ish
he has
news.
Appointed Mr. Grinnell, who has been, among some things, a Fox News contributor. He has been a specialist with NATO. He has previously been the U.S.'s envoy to NATO, which is the North American Treaty Organization. And he has now been reappointed to NATO by the Trump administration.
Okay.
Making him the most senior openly gay, lesbian, bi, trans appointee in the Trump administration.
Now, the weird thing is, quite a few people have noticed that lately Fox has been shifting from weird right to like right of center. I don't want to say they've been getting liberal, but they've been getting less.
They've decided Fox-y. To disembark off the crazy train.
Well, you know.
Yeah, they're taking a rest.
they might
get back on later, but for now, let's enjoy the view.
They're on the crazy train, but they're not on the express route anymore. They're on the milk run.
Yeah.
And they're making all the stops, but, you know, they're not getting as far as they used to. But, you know, it's a little bit more relaxing. We don't really do express routes in Canada, and I've always found that really strange. So I used to live in Hong Kong, and I used to live in Japan, and it was actually... both of them, the way their public transit systems work. Actually, also, when I went to England with my ex to visit his family up in York, England loves express routes. So you just get on the express route. You go like a million miles an hour, and then you get off and you take the milk run for the next two stops. And you don't need to have every train or every bus go to every stop. Mm-hmm. And this doesn't really happen in Canada that I know of. In Vancouver, actually, I saw one express route. In Hamilton has one bus. That's an express route.
The transit way was supposed to be an express route, and everything does milk runs into the transit way.
It still makes every stop.
It does. Yeah. And there are so many stops and so many buses that they go back to back to back to back to back.
It's
and
ridiculous.
Like it's gridlock. And you're like, you're an express transit way that's gridlocked. Why?
This, by the way, this is giving the audience a little bit of insight into what it's like to know me in real life, because
you have a thing for trains.
I have a thing for public transit, and people will be talking about very serious things, and I'll be like, let's talk about proper bus stop design, and people be like, is this really the appropriate moment for that? And I just know that I care if it's the appropriate moment. We're going to be talking about bus stop design.
We had a moment about that. We were at
you and I?
Yeah, we were recording last week's show about lesbian potlucks.
Yes.
And we were coming home, and we went to the bus stop, and you texted the bus to figure out when it's coming back. And you're like, this number doesn't work. And that's because they put the property code for the bus stop on the actual bus stop, like, shelter thingy.
Yeah.
And that's just, like, their shelter number 1042.
Yeah.
It's not the actual four-digit code. I'm like, why would you put a great big number on the side of the thing?
Why wouldn't they use the same number?
Yeah, I know. It's just...
every bus stop has a unique identifier.
I know, but no, there's two different numbers, one of which will tell you when the bus is coming. The other one, like, no.
Yeah.
Anyway, stupid bus design in May. Well, on that dramatic news story, that is all we have time for. We are playing out with the fantastic Canadian talent, Ria May, who was openly out, I think, earlier this year. We are playing the song Girlfriend from the 2014 release. And please check it out. Very, very talented. And that's all we've got time for now. And you'll see us next week. Thanks for listening. I've been Luke Smith.
I've been Sebastian.
Goodbye.